How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
There are two New Testament Philips. One is an apostle, the other is an evangelist. One of them is buried in Turkey, apparently, under an ancient church. They are uncovering it as we speak. The headline reads, Tomb of St. Philip the Apostle discovered in Turkey. We'll see what this discovery really means. Dr. Ben Witherington is going to join us here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this 27th of July, a Wednesday afternoon. Our call-in number for the next hour, please remember them because we got open lines coming up. I want your reaction to the NASCAR prayer, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can chime in with many others who have already reacted to the NASCAR prayer, boogity, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. My smoking hot wife, I think you know which one I'm talking about, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Ben Witherington is a regular guest. He's professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary. He serves on the doctoral faculty at St. Andrews University in Scotland, and he's author of more than 40 books, including The Jesus Quest, The Paul Quest, and The Acts of the Apostles. Dr. Witherington, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you.
Which Philip are we talking about here?
Well, I'm here to be a Philip Buster. There are two Philips in the New Testament. One of them is an apostle, and the other is an evangelist. Now, the Philip that's associated with Hierapolis and this dig, according to Papias, our second century church father, is the Philip who has the prophesying daughters. And in fact, there are traditions about them being in Hierapolis as well, which was, in general, a center for all kinds of prophecy, both pagan, Christian, Jewish, and otherwise. And there was a famous temple of Apollo with a plutonium there where lots of pagan prophets spoke. So if they've actually found the tomb of some Philip, it's pretty sure it's not the apostle at all. It's Philip the Evangelist, which makes better sense anyway, because Philip the Evangelist is pictured in the book of Acts as somebody who is distinguished from the apostles, appointed by the apostle Peter to do tasks that seem to be below the pay grade of the apostles. And the subsequent stories we hear about him are A, he's evangelizing on the road, the Ethiopian eunuch, and B, he's living in Caesarea Maritima on the coast of Israel, and his prophesying daughters are with him. So it wouldn't be a bit surprising if they moved on to Turkey and continued to do evangelistic work. So if it's either of them, it's the latter, not the former.
From an archaeological standpoint, Dr. Witherington, why would they be digging where they're at, hoping to find the tomb of Philip the Evangelist?
Well, because there are church traditions that this is where he landed. In fact, Papias, the second century church father, mentions this. So those traditions are recorded in Eusebius's church history volume, but Eusebius is simply quoting Papias, who was a bishop in the area. In fact, Papias's tombstone may have been found recently in Hierapolis, and I wrote a little book about that called Papias and the Mysterious Menorah. But that's a story for another day. I think there is good reason to think that the Philip of the Book of Acts may have lived and died his latter years in Hierapolis, a very important ancient city today. It's called Pamukkale because it's a big tourist attraction. It has all these salt cliffs like the Great White Cliffs of Dover. But I think it's probably a genuine find, but it doesn't have to do with Philip that they seem to think it has to do with. One of the real problems we have with church history from the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th century is what happened when you begin to have some distance of time and space from the actual events to medieval history is that various church fathers put names, familiar names in their middle Cuisinart and blended together traditions that shouldn't have been blended together. A good example of this is the tradition that suggests that Mary Magdalene is the same person as Mary of Bethany, who is the same person as the sinner woman mentioned in Luke 7:36-50, who washed Jesus' feet with her tears or some ointment. There was a tendency to blend together biblical figures that had the same name or had similar stories, and this is another example of this. I mean, this is another example of not critically thinking through all the traditions and getting to the bottom of which Philip this was.
Let's talk about another discovery that you say is perhaps even more interesting. It's Göbekli Tepe Temple, you say.
Yes.
What is this about, and why is it's almost it's extreme antiquity important to you?
Well, this is, in my judgment, the most important archaeological find that has relevance to biblical studies in the last 15 or 20 years. Let's start with where it is. It's north out of Urfa in southeastern Turkey, Şanlı Urfa, about 10 miles. It's on the top of a hill, and it involves 20 stone circles. Imagine Stonehenge times 20, okay? They've only dug up three of them. There are 17 more that they have radiograph evidence is still under the ground. They've carbon dated the stuff. They've done all their homework. They've been digging on this since 1994, and the information is coming to light now. National Geographic just did a special on it and a cover feature in last month's issue. What this is a place of ritual sacrifice. Stone circles. And the stone, monolithic stones that are there have carvings of all kinds of wild beasties and animals on them, and carvings of human beings. Now, why is this so significant? Well, there has been a theory, especially among secular anthropologists and sociologists, that the way human civilization developed was this. You have the Neolithic Revolution. That is, primitive human beings who start out as hunter and gatherers eventually become agriculturalists. And when they become agriculturalists, they settle down, and that's the beginning of village life. And with the beginning of village and town life, you have the beginning of culture. And with the beginning of culture, eventually you have religion. Now, what this find does is it turns that whole paradigm on its head. Because ancient anthropologists and archaeologists are pretty clear that 10,000 BC is the date for the beginning of human civilization, and that there were no temples, there were no priests, no major sacrifices at the beginning of human civilization. That's what the secular anthropologists say, right? Survey says not. What you have at the beginning of human civilization is very religious human beings. Now, as a biblical scholar, I'm just simply going, well, I'm not surprised. What does the Bible say in the very first few chapters about the nature of human beings? They are created in the image of God. They are meant for relationship with God. What's this whole business about sacrifices all about? It's about making peace with one's God or God's plural. That's what it's about. So this site shows the inherent religiosity and religiousness of human beings from the dawn of civilization, from day one. And this will cause a major revamping of the whole way, especially secular Old Testament studies and archaeology, is done. Now, the location of this site is important as well. It's between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. What else do we know was between the Tigris and Euphrates River? How about, according to Genesis, the Garden of Eden? This is just up the road, if you will, into southeastern Turkey from the traditional location of the beginning of all human life in the Garden of Eden. So, yeah, it's a fascinating find. It's an important find. We're pretty excited about this because it forces archaeologists of all kinds to conjure once more with the question, what does it mean to be truly human? Does religion have something to do with the essence of who we are? And that's a very important biblical question.
Dr. Ben Witherington is our guest. A few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, live this Wednesday afternoon, July the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be talking with him for just a few more minutes. The next question that I have then is, it sounds like it's not just early religious activity. It's very intense and very specific sacrificial activity on the part of the earliest inhabitants of that region. Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary. He also serves on the doctoral faculty at St. Andrews University in Scotland. We'll be right back.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swirl pool, treehouse harbor, itty bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot.
Raging
for one after 3 p.m. every day with coupons on Bunny Bread Buns and select Bunny Bread products.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, Etc. Now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at IssuesETC.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org. Go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Ben Witherington's our guest. We're talking about the discovery of a very ancient sacrificial temple between the Tigris and the Euphrates, and its significance not only for secular archaeology, but for biblical archaeology as well. Before the break, the situation you described sounds like very early, very intense, and very specific religious activity right next to one of the most significant places in terms of human civilization, not only in Scripture, but in secular archaeology as well.
In fact, this place is not even a village. So far, they've found no evidence of houses in this location. This location appears to be strictly a religious pilgrimage spot where you went to offer sacrifices. I mean, it'd be like making a pilgrimage to Canterbury, right? To see what? Well, the Canterbury Cathedral, that's the reason you go. Same thing here. This is a religious spot where sacrifices are offered. Now, what they have found is lots and lots of bones of animals. Well, that's not a shock. If there's been lots and lots of sacrifices, that's exactly what we would expect to be found. And what in addition they've found is lots and lots of primitive tools used to carve these incredible monolithic stones, which are spectacularly beautiful. Each one weighs up to 16 tons. I mean, imagine 20 stone circles, each of which have about 4 to 8 16-ton stones erected. How important would this enterprise have to be to go to that kind of labor to construct this sort of temple site? Very important indeed. Indeed, it must have been job one, because this is an enormously labor-intensive thing that has gone on at Göbekli Tepe. So I'm very excited about this. I think it will change the whole way secular Old Testament studies is taught in universities and schools once the impact of it is really felt. I mean, think back to the very first story outside the Garden of Eden. According to Genesis, what were Cain and Abel doing? They were offering what? Sacrifices. One was acceptable, one was not. Human beings, two steps out of the Garden of Eden, what are they up to, according to the Bible? Sacrifices. Hoping to please their deity. Well, that's exactly what's going on at Göbekli Tepe. And for me, it's a confirmation that we need to take seriously the whole image of God theology, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, as one of the most important and primitive ideas that links the whole canon together and helps us understand who we are.
Finally, then, back to the subject we began with. People read the headlines about the discovery of a tomb belonging to, well, the headlines say the apostle, and you say, no, the evangelist. How should we respond to the news stories about the alleged discovery of Philip's tomb?
Well, I think we should be open to it. I mean, Christianity is a historical religion, but as my granny used to say, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out, right? So you need to critically think through what they're claiming. I've done work with Turkish archaeologists. I'm over there every May. I've talked to a lot of them. The big lacunae in their knowledge base is most of them don't know the Bible very well. They actually know Catholic tradition and early Christian tradition better than they know the Bible. So this story needs some sorting out. But nonetheless, I don't really see any compelling reason to simply say, well, they probably didn't find any biblical figure at all buried there. But that's unlikely, because when you actually go look at the martyrium and the basilica, the big church that was built on this spot in probably the 4th or 5th century A.D., there had to be some history to this spot and some important saint's name for them to have gone to all the trouble of building this vast basilica at this spot. So I think Papias was probably telling us the truth. We're dealing with a biblical Philip here who had prophesying daughters, and this is an important archaeological discovery.
Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary. He also serves on the doctoral faculty at St. Andrews University in Scotland. He's author of more than 40 books, including The Jesus Quest, The Paul Quest, and The Acts of the Apostles. You'll find a link to his website at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Witherington, thank you again for your time.
Good to be with you.